Hello, welcome to episode 8 of Words with Chris and Drew.
Welcome to episode 18.
Oh yeah, Andrew likes to say 18 because it's series 2. We have a special guest this week. Would you like to introduce yourself?
No.
Good start. Liam's here, Liam McFarlane.
Hello, I'm here.
Yeah, he's guesting this week because, he was here.
Mostly because of geographical convenience.
Yeah, basically.
Presents and all that.
Yeah.
Right, let's play the music. Back from Ibiza, ready for our first podcast since the holiday and the gig.
Yeah.
Got some nice tasty questions for you, and we've got Liam here chipping in.
Yeah, well, I'm not as bronzed as the two of you.
No,
I don't think we're that bronzed.
Well, Andrew spent the whole time in jeans and a long shirt, so he's not covered bronzed
in,
at all.
Covered in factor 30.
Yeah, he was putting suntan lotion on his jeans.
Wow.
Yeah, so...
if I don't, I burn to a crisp.
So. Yeah, I burnt my feet and got some freckles
well,
to show
nice
for it.
Well, it's nice to see you not back. Well done.
Yeah.
Thanks.
You got a joke this week?
Of course.
Of course.
When have I ever let you down?
I suppose that's true. Well, you've let me down with the quality of the jokes sometimes. Right. So, you know.
Didn't like them, though.
My favourite one so far has been the Quasimodo one. That's been my favourite, I think. The one about the brothers.
Oh, yeah.
That was tasty, that one. And I also liked series one with the footballing... Was it the millipede?
The millipede.
Yeah, that was classic.
Yeah, but then you were picking holes in it afterwards. Continuity errors and...
Yeah. Well, I've got to keep you on your toes, haven't I? Come on. Anyway, shall we dive in with some questions?
Yeah, I expect that's a good idea.
Cool. Right, Adam McJarrett. Hello, Adam.
Hi, Adam.
Hi, Ed.
Welcome to the show. Well, he wanted to start with a bit of wordplay. So he said, why do we bake cookies and cook bacon? Because obviously, you know, bacon, cookies. He's raised the question.
You could bake bacon, I suppose, if you wanted to.
You could.
I don't think it'd be very good.
Sort of similar to that beef meat thing, wasn't it?
I knew that would come in.
Beef meat. It's a great word.
Did you count how many times I said it in the episode? But you fucking didn't.
No.
Wouldn't have either because I said it a lot.
Refresh my memory. What was that
calculate
about?
Remember when he had that question a few weeks ago about what was it? Something about beef. Why do we say beef? Why do we say meatballs instead of beef balls?
Yeah, exactly.
And then you were saying, can you just say beef meat as many times
but
as possible?
But we've covered that. Well, you've
covered it. Yeah,
you know,
we've covered
so
it.
I'm just seeing the similarities.
Have you ever tried cooking bacon in the oven?
Well, actually, you say that. I made a hunter's chicken the other night.
Don't know what that is. Carry on.
Three bits of bacon wrapped round a chicken breast or fillet.
Mm.
And then you heat that up, and then you put a bit of cheese on top, a bit of barbecue sauce, the sticky stuff, not the sort of squirty.
Yeah. Oh, mate.
You know, you've got to have sticky. And,
you've just given me a brilliant
idea.
You cut
into that bad boy, and that's a tasty bit of dinner.
So basically what you're saying is that Adam is in fact wrong.
The question... I wouldn't want to, you know, I wouldn't want to...
the question is based
put
on...
Put words into
well,
my mouth. And
the question is based on faulty premises by the sound of it.
Well, what I was going to say was, you like the way you're saying it's wordplay, so by... But the fact that cookies has the word cooking, you should cook it, and bacon has bacon, so you bake it or whatever. The other thing, it's like Play-Doh. Play-Doh has play in
but
it,
it's
so
wrong.
You play with
but
the
I
dough.
Think,
or Play-Doh.
Yeah, but
no, the bit that you can't, why, you know, there's an underlying assumption that you can't bake bacon. Liam has just demonstrated that you can.
He has. Do you know what my idea was? Just when you started talking about the, you know, the hunter's chicken.
No.
Well, and that later, babe.
No, I recommend that.
What I was going to say was every week I should record Liam doing a recipe, like a really fast recipe. I'm going, Liam's recipe of the week, and he'd be like, this week hunt this chicken.
Well, because I've been watching Hell's Kitchen, like,
yeah,
for like two series, and all
why
of
not?
A sudden,
why not?
Oh, yeah. Actually, we'll yeah, and I wouldn't mind doing that. And yeah. then other people can ring in with their recipes, and if it's shit, I can do the get out!
Yeah, yeah.
No, you've got to tell them to like fuck off for a second.
Yeah. Fuck off! What the fuck is this shit? Get out!
Yes.
Get you know?
Okay, so are we basically saying.
Adam, you've got to raise your game, mate. Sorry.
Well, I think it's more to do with he's talking more about the like the wording, really, isn't
it? Oh yeah, no.
He's taking the piss.
Doubtless, but
he's taking the piss.
Right, we're coming round to get you.
Yeah,
that's it. We're gonna chop your beard off, man.
We've got a
bunch of fives.
We're gonna
talking about bananas.
Right, we're off to a good start. I'm gonna move on. You're gonna hate this because it involves the EU again.
Oh, good.
Yeah, but Julian Bennett.
Hello, Julian.
He says, what is the very worst and creative fate that could befall us if we leave the EU?
If we leave the EU?
Yeah, and he also said Cameron started it, so why not?
If you leave the EU, your dick will fall off. I don't know.
That is creative.
If we leave the EU, I reckon there's going to be a lot of... I reckon there's going to be a lot of holiday makers not liking the prices of Spain the next time they go, you know? Things might start.
I did notice it.
We've got to aim high, though, for these. We're meant to be imagining the most ridiculous apocalyptic scenarios.
That's true.
The price of sausage rolls skyrockets and.
Yeah, £4 for a Greg sausage roll.
Are you talking about a sort of repeat of the Wall Street crash or something in some weird way where we've got like wheelbarrows going to get like a loaf of bread? With all your money, you know.
Well, not just that. We wouldn't have money.
Yeah.
We'd revert to a bartering economy. It'd be like three goats for a loaf of bread or something.
That's how money came about in the first place.
That's not a fair trade, surely. Three goats.
It's not, but you know, I'm just spitballing.
Just riffing here. Yeah.
Just riffing.
Fair enough.
What else?
What else could go wrong? I did notice at the airport actually that there's the you have the. When you're in the duty free, it says you can pay if you're within the EU, you pay this. If you're travelling out of the EU, you pay less.
Yeah,
yeah. Would that change? If we were coming back from Spain and we were not in the EU, we pay less for our duty free.
Well, it would be different.
It would be a different price.
Yeah.
What about? I was just thinking, I had to send off for my EU. What's it called again? European Union health card. For health insurance.
Yeah, EHIC.
Because I went to... Because years ago, you used to just fill out an E111 form and all that when you're going away. So if we were to leave, would that mean that if you had to have any medical stuff done abroad, it wouldn't necessarily be covered? Because we're out the
they'd
EU
have to,
now.
They'd have to... Well, it'd be, I guess it'd be go back to the old E111s, maybe, or... Maybe not even that. Maybe you'd have just...
But were we in the EU when you had
I suppose
those?
We probably were,
so that's what I'm
we?
Saying. So yeah. If we left the EU and you went to one of the European... countries on holiday and you broke your wrist or something.
Well,
are you then going to be paying for those fees or?
Well,
this might be the most sensible way we've ever answered the question.
Yeah, Liam, what's going on?
Should I leave? I'm not, like, you know, serious.
No, it's good.
This isn't fucking news night, though.
No, well,
why the fuck not?
We're adding a bit of class to it, you know.
Yeah,
this is good.
I wore a cravat.
Yeah, you can take that off.
Yeah, yeah. Lose the spats and the top hat as well.
But, well, we've added some class a lot.
I don't know what else might happen.
I don't know.
The floor of your house will fall in.
Yeah.
If you leave the EU.
Will it?
There'll be terrorists coming up through your toilet and all sorts.
Jeremy Kyle will become the new culture secretary.
Oh, God. Bloody hell.
Yeah.
Right, let's not give people nightmares.
Yeah. And, you know that show that Keith Chegwin used to do? Naked in the Jungle or whatever it was.
No, I've never seen that. That was sounds interesting though.
It was Keith Chegwin
wearing nothing in the bush.
I think it was Keith Chegwin.
Drinking like a fish.
It was this sort of Crystal Maze style thing where he like took them through this pretend jungle.
Was this obstacles. On really late on Channel 4 or something? It sounds like it should
Channel
be.
4 or Channel 5. I can't
maybe Chegwin really did play cock.
Yeah. Well, what? Yeah. That'll come back, but Nigel Farage will be the host.
Oh, God. Oh, mate. I don't want to see him naked. He looks like a fucking toad.
And what else? Go on, we've got to think of doomsday scenarios.
Well, do you want to have a think and we'll move on? You can come back. And at the end, we'll go, this is the fate that befell us.
God, imagine that. Führer Farage.
Yeah, let's move on. This is weird. How are you with your Latin? You any good?
Terrible.
Oh, okay.
But Liam, you did Latin at school, didn't you?
I did a little bit.
That's lucky.
Yeah. Although it usually turned into Marcus had Sextus with Brutus, and you know, right. And Sextus that sounds... wasn't even sex. That was just a dude.
Well, let me test you because Carl Smith's got a question.
Oh, hi Carl.
Hi Carl.
We'll shorten that, make that more natural. Yeah. He said if you could come up with a Latin joke, what would it be?
Does it have to be one that we've concocted ourselves?
Well, I don't know. Right. Well, I guess so. He said if you came up with it. But he had one that was... I'll read it. I don't know what it means. It says, illegitimae nil carborundum.
Ho ho.
Do you know what that means?
No.
Sounds like he's got a dodgy carburetor in his car or something.
Sounds like a right... That's a knee slap of that one, Carl.
Well, I've got a joke in Latin. Yeah. This is a bonus joke.
Bonus joke,
just
okay.
For you, Carl.
All right, go on. Give it to him.
A centurion walks into a bar and says, I'd like a martinus, please. The barman says, do you mean a martini? The centurion says, if I wanted a double, I'd have asked for one.
Well, Liam fucking liked it.
That's good.
It's the old cases, isn't it? Yeah. Ablative, genitive, and about 600 more others.
Accusative.
Dative. The naughty of, and that sort of thing.
I like it. Well done.
Thanks,
thinking on your feet.
But if Carl really does want a good Roman joke or Latin, then I'd suggest putting on Life of Brian, skipping a few chapters, and getting to that oh so famous scene.
Well, I think he's probably. Yeah. You mean people called Romans go the house? I think he's probably seen it.
Yeah. Clever bastard.
All right. Well done, Erin.
Hey Aaron.
I've got two from Aaron. We've got one recorded live, so mm-hmm. we'll stick that in a sec. But the other one, she said, what do you hate more, dentists or traffic wardens?
Well, I don't hate anyone, man.
Well, but which do you dislike more?
Well, you know, I think I find traffic wardens more vexing.
Yeah, I mean, I know the traffic wardens are only doing a job, but at the same time, everything has a purpose.
It's quite a vexing job.
Yeah, I mean, their job, you know, is probably about as...
Well, I mean, when you go to the dentist, you have to go. You got a problem with your teeth,
but
you can't be too mad at them. They're helping you, really.
You're turning in full of hatred towards them,
no,
aren't you?
I should point out that Erin is a dental nurse.
So maybe she doesn't like her boss.
You shouldn't have told us that.
Well,
and tried to goad us into saying dentists are all dreadful people. And
oh, I wouldn't set you up for a trap like that.
Well, you should. It'd be more fun.
Okay. Oh well, sorry. She's not a dental nurse.
Think these things through next time.
All right, she's a
traffic
fucking,
warden.
She's a traffic warden. Yeah.
The thing is, when you go to the dentist and they start brutalising your mouth, they're not doing it for fun. It's for your own benefit.
Exactly.
It's for
that's
your
what
own
I'm saying.
Good. Basically,
you need it done.
So I don't have any special resentment for dentists or anything like that, man. I mean, that's just daft.
I think most people cutting off your foot to spite your leg. Yeah.
And they're not all like Steve Martin in Little Shop of Horrors either, you know? I mean, you've never seen it?
No.
Oh, man, check it out. Singing plant and everything, eats people. But, it's one of those sort of things, you're not going to, walk into a dentist and sort of...
Slag him off.
With the crucifix and all that, you know? No. I've got a sore tooth, so I'm going to hate you until it's repaired.
Yeah.
Traffic wardens, the resentment only begins when, basically, you're in the wrong.
Yeah, but...
Is it the fact that you think, like you said, like, dentists aren't doing it for their pleasure... Whereas sometimes you get the impression that a traffic warden loves it when he gets to stamp a ticket on someone's car.
Oh, well, years and years ago, like late 90s, there was this sort of fly on the wall series called about traffic wardens.
Okay. Mm.
And it went out on a weeknight. And there was one of the guys in the team, they did a special episode on him because he was the most prolific issuer of tickets on the team. And there was a chance that today he might, because he had like an extra long shift or something, there's a chance he might get 100 tickets in one day.
See, look,
and he was actively excited by this prospect.
Was he working towards a bonus or
Do
they get a trophy?
I would hope that traffic wardens are not paid commission on tickets they issue.
Someone told me they were.
What?
Someone told me they were. I don't know if they're just joking.
No, I think they are. I know the Bromley ones are.
Well, there you go.
They get commission on tickets that they issue.
There's like a whole, like, sort of... I suppose it's like tiers, really, isn't it? And it's like employee of the month, except they have their bastard of the month award.
Do you reckon they get belts, like karate? Like, when you get a certain amount of tickets, you get to black belt, and you're like the black belt in being a cunt.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But the thing is, I mean, what makes it worse is there are parts of London where the parking restrictions are, when we go and play gigs.
They're tricky, especially around Camden. It's tricky, isn't it?
Highbury is the worst by far.
Oh, okay.
Because sometimes we go and play gigs at the garage.
That's a nightmare, actually, isn't it?
The parking situation there, for people, bearing in mind there's a live music venue, the parking situation there is utterly untenable.
Yeah.
You know. To the point that
must be a hot spot for traffic wardens.
Oh, I bet they love it.
Yeah. They're like, oh, please put me in Highbury today.
When you sort of look at London, London almost looks like a city that was built without thought for the future. You know? Yeah. I mean, at least when you look at like America though, theirs is almost like laid out like grids, isn't it? And it's sort of it's almost like a sort of straightforward path and pattern.
There's no character to that though. We've got character in London.
Oh, we've got character. Don't get me wrong. You know, we've got
rather be pissed off and have character than
than have everything being fantastic and have the great American dream.
Yeah. The thing is, the great metropolises of America.
Mm.
They were built at a time when you had much more modern ideas about town planning. Whereas London, London's been around since a long time ago.
Well, the Romans.
Did the Romans invent London?
I don't know if they invented it.
I just like the entire idea of inventing London.
But Londinium,
we'll have a big clock.
Referred to.
Yeah, well, that's true.
And it was part of the empire.
But did it exist in like...
this is amazing.
In Saxon times.
Wasn't there, mate?
No.
Oh, Saxon times, weren't
we? Question on traffic wardens and dentists has escalated into
England's been invaded many times, the history of London. It was the Danes. It was sort of between the Danes, the Saxons and the Vikings for a long time, eventually, until like sort of the Romans came in and was like, move over, lads. And then eventually it went... No, sorry, am I doing this around the wrong way? I think Saxons and everyone...
Yeah, stick to cooking, mate.
Then the Romans.
Then the Romans left. And then we had the Saxons again.
Can we move on to Aaron's second question?
And then William the Conqueror turned up.
Oh, I'm just doing a history lesson there.
No, I've got it wrong. Yeah, it was Romans, then Saxons, then... I've got it the other way around.
Then the Normans showed up.
And the Normans, yep.
And then... Yeah, but anyway, the point is that the bit what's called London, it was invented a long time ago, and, you didn't have... the considerations about successful town planning would have been very, very different at that point in history. Whereas with the great American metropolises, which I guess started to get built up properly in the 1800s or thereabouts, they had much more modern, much more developed ideas about how you should organise a city, basically.
So, traffic wardens or dentists?
What were we talking about? How did we
That's what I'm saying. Aaron, we don't like traffic wardens.
Dentists
fair play.
Are...
Let's leave it there.
Dentists are necessary. Traffic wardens... There might be a cure for them, but,
All right. All right, Erin's second question is recorded live from the pub. She was a little bit drunk. That's fine. I'll play it now, so hit it. Right, Erin, you got a question for the podcast. Hit me up.
Right, so, goats are called billy goats, right? Mm-hmm. So, why are they called billy goats? Because, well, not because, I'm drunk. That smells so nice.
I know, it's the
anyway.
Kitchen,
oh... Right, so goats are called billy goats. Why are they called billy goats? I'm wondering whether they're called billy goats because of Billy the Kid. And a baby goat is called a kid. So please, tell me.
Sound
please
reasoning.
Tell me whether this
discuss.
Is true. Please discuss. Discuss. Please discuss.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And what's your opinion?
No idea.
Okay.
when Billy the Kid was at large, maybe it was... just sort of several layers of wordplay going on at once. Maybe he was Billy. Maybe his name probably was just Billy.
Yeah.
And he may have been a kid.
Mm.
Like, of a baby face or whatever.
Yeah.
And they thought, oh, a kid, Billy, that's he's two types of goat at the same time. That's funny.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe that's what passed for humour in the Wild West.
There's an update. You remember Kevin the cunt?
Who?
The goat. Kevin the goat.
Oh, right, yeah.
Kevin, stop being such a cunt, mate.
That bloke.
Right,
that
goat. There's been an update. He's posted another video and he's worked out Kevin's not a cunt.
Oh.
Do you know what's happened? Kevin's collar has been on too tight.
Oh, no.
And the guy realised and he cut his collar off and Kevin's no longer a cunt.
Is he mellowed out a bit?
I think he's chilled out a bit, yeah. He's got his act together.
If I had my tie down to 11 the entire time,
I know, right? I'd get
a bit stressed.
So fair play to Kevin. Like, good on him. He's rectified his cuntish ways. Well, we gave Aaron quite a long answer for the first one, which was completely off the point, so that's good for a short answer, I think.
We can't have a single person monopolising a show, can we?
No, exactly.
Much like last week. George episode.
Oh, well, yeah, but he helped us out there. Thank you, George, for all those questions we had back.
Yeah, we had a bit of a backlog there, didn't we?
Yeah, they helped us out massively in Ibiza, so thank you once again.
Yeah.
Right, next question. Melissa Hart.
Hello, Melissa.
Hello.
I think this is her first time on the programme.
Possibly. She said, well, she said...
Why so gentle.
Yeah, she said, why can I never think of a bloody question? Help her out.
Mm. Oh, moving on.
Yeah.
Well, no, we can't really provide a sensible answer.
I felt like I should ask the question. One can only speculate. Yeah, I should at least ask the question.
In your head about that one. I don't think we can answer that.
We can't really answer that, Mel. All I say is keep trying and...
keep trying and good luck.
Yeah, see you next week, hopefully.
Best of wishes.
Yeah, all the best.
Got to do the patch up.
Mm.
Maybe a bit of research during the week will help.
Yeah.
You know,
anything that comes up in your head, Mel, next week, just
lay
it on us. We'll help you out.
Even if it's, as you know, we like to tackle the hard hitting intellectual and political and philosophical issues of the day.
Oh yeah.
You know.
Welcome to big talk.
Whether you can bake bacon or not.
Yeah.
You know, serious stuff.
Serious stuff. All right, George Venables.
Hey, George.
George.
George. Me old mucker.
You got a nod, though. You got a nod.
Yeah. He said...
I don't nod for everyone.
He said, if you became a millionaire overnight, what would the first thing you would do?
I think we've had this question before.
We have in another way, but he wants to know the first thing you would do.
The very first thing
is you found out you were a millionaire. You woke up, you looked at your bank account, millionaire. He said, what would you do first and why?
Ah, well, hang on. The way you've described that is a very specific... turn of events. So I wasn't expecting to become a millionaire.
No, let's just say you weren't expecting
it. There's no good reason I should have.
No.
There's no good reason that £1 million should have ended up in my bank.
You'd go to the bank and say, where's this money come from?
I'd be immediately extremely suspicious. So I'd ring them up and say, look, I've got £1 million more in my account than what I had yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
you know.
I think he was looking for more of a, you could do anything.
But that wasn't the situation you described.
All right, well, let's say that you knew you were getting £1 million. Let's say you won the lottery and it went in your bank account the next day.
Okay.
Let's say that.
Okay, yeah, that's happy. I'm
okay,
that.
So what would the first thing
be? I'd buy a slap-up grill first.
That'd be the first thing, yeah?
Well, I think, probably got the means to cover it these days.
Yeah. I mean, if you had a slap-up meal, like, what time of day would you just wake up and go straight to it?
Brunch.
Brunch, yeah?
Brunch.
That's gonna zap your energy for the rest of the day, though, really, if you're full of it.
It's all right. Sleep it off. I'm a millionaire.
Sleep it off.
Yeah.
Fair enough. On your bed of money.
Yeah. Then, yeah, that's it. Food.
Food, George. Food. There you go. Andrew would go straight out for an up-slap meal.
Up-slap.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder why they call it a slap-up meal.
I don't know. There's another question.
A slap-up meal.
Did you previously have to slap people in order to get that level of service?
Well, maybe.
Maybe it was encouraged in certain restaurants to slap the waiters if they were doing it wrong.
You do see some people after they've had a meal be like, oh, that was bloody good. So you never know. Maybe it's the slap-up meal. It's almost like a celebratory or victory clap at the end of a well-earned meal.
Yeah.
Because you don't usually do that when it was horrible, do you? You just sort of go.
Well, maybe it was right. Like those old collegiate dining clubs and all the rest of it. Maybe they used to slap each other on the back and
guffaw at each other. Happy digestion.
Yeah, maybe.
And sing the old college rugby songs and.
never really got into any of that. I don't really know much about
No, neither do I. I'm just, again, just speculating wildly.
Yeah.
All right, well...
Maybe what's the etymology of slap up? Anyone knows, let us know.
Yeah, it's on a postcard.
Yeah.
Yeah. What would you do with £1 million?
First thing I would do?
Yeah.
Oh, it is a good question. I'm leaning towards food as well. Why is that? Why is it, if you had endless money, you're just like,
have you had your dinner yet?
No, I haven't.
Well, you're hungry then.
Well, because when you feed the brain can think more, thoughtfully and...
Maybe we should have a meal every time before we do a podcast, have a slap-up meal.
Have dinner first.
And then the quality of answer might go up substantially.
You never know.
Unless it's a particularly well-oiled meal, of course.
Well, I thought that fish was meant to be food for the brain.
No, I mean, when I say well-oiled, it's a figure of speech.
Yeah, I know. I was actually just going back to literally, like, oily.
Oily fish.
Yeah, oily fish. Omega-3.
Omega-3 oils, eh?
Yeah.
They're good for you.
Good for you, yeah. Anyway.
What would you do if you had £1 million?
If I had £1 million?
What's the first thing you would do?
Well, there was that part of me, like you, would be a bit suspicious, but then there's that other part of me that's like, well, fuck it, it's in my account, so it's mine. You made a mistake, you deal with it.
Well, no, let's say it's the lottery, you won the lottery, so you know where it's come from. And
I never played the lottery.
No.
I think, first of all...
Slap up meal?
No, I wouldn't even do that. I think chances are I'd most likely call a good few close mates.
Mm-hmm.
Probably just whip out a couple of grand. Go on holiday somewhere, nice, bit of sun, something relaxing.
Couple of grand? You stingy bastard. You got a meal?
Yeah, because there's that sort of part of me that's like, this isn't 100% real yet, you know?
Yeah.
And
You don't want to be down to your last 999,000.
No, of course not, but then I've never had that sort of money, so I wouldn't spend it frivolously, you know? I'd be very sort of careful about it.
How much would you give me if you won a mil?
That's personal.
No, it's not. I want to know.
You would be involved in whatever I do anyway, you know?
Right. So you take me for a mil.
You wouldn't need money. But... yeah, I'd go on holiday somewhere and just lie on the beach and just contemplate what my life's going to be like now and from here on. Because calm to actually think. Like, I wouldn't want to be in my everyday normal life just doing everything, going, oh yeah, guys, I won a million. Because you're going to have people jumping on you. You're going to have people trying to be your best friend who have never been your best friend. And you're going to be like, I know why you're my friend now.
Just remember, I've been here all this time, so...
But yeah, you're all right. Your loyalty it's not even bought or paid because it just comes anyway. Yeah. You know?
£1 million...
I've lifted enough drum kits, mate.
No, it's true.
Yeah.
But £1 million, could you live indefinitely on £1 million?
High interest account.
Well, I suppose in this day and age, £1 million isn't really seen as a lot of money.
Fucking
even though people like ourselves have never seen it.
But depending on your spending habits, though, if you get into the mindset, well, I'm rich now, and you develop a very sort of high, a very high spending lifestyle, you could very easily burn through the £1 million very quickly.
Yeah.
The thing is,
because you could be like, well, it's time for lunch. Better go to Greg's. Then you'd be like, I'm a millionaire now.
I wouldn't go to Greg's.
I'm going to go to Marks and Spencer's and get my sandwiches there instead. Before you know it, you're down to your last tenner.
Senseless waste.
See, I'm in a part of my life now where all that sort of thing I'm trying to eliminate, you know, because money doesn't buy you happiness. We know this, you know. It buys you a bit more freedom.
Marks and Spencer's sandwiches.
But it doesn't necessarily buy you happiness.
I mean, Marks and Sparks, they do a really nice club, triple-decker sort of club sandwich. You know the one I mean, right?
Oh, I know the one you mean, but as Chris was saying, I'm getting into preparing and cooking my own foods now, so I'd rather be doing that. I'd rather prepare my own food.
Tune in next week for another one of Liam's recipes.
Have someone else.
I made an asparagus soup today, you know.
I'd like to try that asparagus soup. Not today's one, but...
I have
one.
Some with me. No, I don't.
Next time, bring it, you selfish bastard. Right, Julian, next question. He's got another one. If you could be a supernatural character, vampire, wizard, etc., what would you be and why? Andrew the vampire.
Why am I a vampire?
I'm just throwing one out there. No. How does that appeal to you?
Well, you can't go out in the daylight anymore if you're a vampire. It's not allowed.
You've still got that factor 30 knocking around, though.
Huh?
You've still got your factor 30 knocking around.
I suppose
you said you'd burn to a crisp anyway, so you wouldn't want to go out in the day.
Right, that's true.
No.
But,
you can only rock and roll at night, man.
That's true.
What would you say if you're a vampire to a victim you're about to bite in the neck? What would you say to him?
I'm definitely not a vampire.
And then bite him.
Yeah. All just right, to, yeah, obviously lure them into a sense of false security.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Put your arm around them.
Because right, they'd be like, oh, that's a relief.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to sort of lean my head this way and expose my neck.
Yeah, yeah.
No, yeah. No reason not to now. You know?
Yeah, yeah, may as well. Smell my cologne.
Yeah.
I trust you now.
Exactly.
Sucker.
Sucker.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, yeah.
But you said you weren't a vampire. Well, you know.
Well, yeah.
What were the other options?
Well, you know, you could be anything. He said vampire, wizard, etc., you know, so you could be a werewolf.
Ooh, being a wizard would be good.
Yeah.
You'd suit a wizard, I think, more than a vampire.
Well, it depends what your sort of mental image of your standard wizard is.
Mm.
Everyone thinks Gandalf, don't they, really?
Yeah, you know.
Most people think of a Gandalf.
He's a pretty...
He's the archetypal wizard, isn't he, really?
He is, yeah. He's a good wizard.
I'd say Gandalf became the archetype in the last 15 years.
If you say Dumbledore, actually, no. I will throw
I
that
I would
window.
Say the archetype is Merlin.
I was going to say Merlin. That's what I mean. But sort of, you know.
Yeah, but this is the thing, though. I mean, different version, you know, there's a sort of a popular version of Merlin. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which version of him, do you know what I mean?
But I would say Merlin's probably the most... Well, then again, like as you say, different generations. I mean, I'd say Gandalf's probably the archetype now, but that's probably for the last 15 years with the movie.
But it's not just that, though, because obviously Lord of the Rings, when it was published, was by far the most influential fantasy work of all time.
Wasn't the Excalibur story out long before that?
Well, the Excalibur stories... A very old myth, you know. So,
but surely that would have influenced the writings of Tolkien when he was doing.
Yeah, maybe a little, but you know, the thing is, the Excalibur myth, the version of Merlin, may not have been codified in the same way Gandalf was. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I suppose Gandalf is the appeal to popular culture and. You know, the people of the world now, as opposed to
he's
maybe 20, 30 years ago, people would have probably said Merlin.
He's on the front of GQ magazine.
Again, I don't agree with that.
You've
got to bear in mind, though, that the thing got published in the 50s, and it was, you know, very, very influential work. So, like, every version, every fantasy author has kind of had that as the archetype since then.
Right, yeah. I want to move on because we're about halfway through and we've got a lot to get through. But
well, I'd definitely be a wizard because wizards don't have to take shit from anybody.
Yeah,
fair enough.
And I'd be a wizard purely because if you wanted to be any other supernatural things, you could turn yourself into one.
All right,
my beard growing would be better.
Yeah, that's true. All right, James Chambers.
Hey, James.
Hey.
He wants to know: is this the real life, or is this just fantasy?
You've watched Matrix too many times, mate.
Or listen to Queen. I think
Yeah, this does seem like the old Cartesian dualism question again, doesn't it?
Oh, Jesus. Words.
Words.
Yeah. I can't wait for the next question. Sorry. I just remembered the one that's come in.
Okay.
Did you want to answer James's question?
Well, you know, it depends if you take Descartes' view of things or not, really, doesn't it?
Please, let's not go into it.
Why not? He asked the question. I feel it's my duty to answer it.
All right. Well, you got 2 minutes to explain.
Well, you know, Descartes' dualism is based on the idea that the mind is separate from the body. And he came to that conclusion because he said, and I quote, "My mind has such qualities that its existence may not be doubted because cogito ergo sum, I think, therefore I am. My body, on the other hand, has such qualities that existence can necessarily be doubted because I'm only aware of its existence by what my senses tell me, the things my senses report.
Mm-hmm.
However, I've no idea whether what my senses report can be trusted or not. There's no external way of verifying this information.
Yeah.
Therefore, because of this apparent distinction, which I think is very, very tenuous myself, the mind and the body are separate things. But that's a very, very, now I think, a very dated philosophical idea. And if, like me, you're very much a hard materialist in these matters, i.e. that the mind is an emergent property of the material brain, such philosophical conundrums don't really occur. That's my answer. So the answer is... So my answer is, this is the real life. There you go.
Fucking amazing answer.
Was that 2 minutes?
No, that was less than 2 minutes. Liam's laughing so much he's fucking hurt himself. Casualties. Oh. Amazing answer. Right, the next one. Right, Jason.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. Right, yeah, no, hello, Jason.
Can't get rid of the bloody man.
Right, seriously, mate, see what you get from this. You need to listen to every word very carefully here because, like, I couldn't understand it. Right.
What language is it in?
Right, hold on, here we go.
Is it his native?
Hold on. How would you react if you stepped in some mud and the impression your shoe made, even that, sorry, was the shape of Jesus' face? Would you complain to your local council?
No, I'd ring the new shopper and be like, give me a few quid.
This sort of thing is not really within the purview of the council, is it?
I don't even know what the fuck he means. What does he mean by the impression your shoe made?
Well, you know, he means your footprint.
Yeah, but why doesn't he say that? With the words he uses.
Because he's Jason.
Yeah, all right.
And I think the point is, this is not a sense. This question is entirely vexatious.
But aren't they always? From Jason.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think he's just trying to, you know, throw a spanner in the works.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. Liam's left us. He's run away.
He's gone for a wee.
Oh.
All right. Dan Cox.
Hello, Dan.
Who is your favourite celebrity dwarf?
Are you sure this is Dan's question?
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay. That's a surprise.
Mm.
Well, I can only think of... I can only think of three.
Who you got?
I've got Warwick Davis.
Yep.
Peter Dinklage.
Mm-hmm.
And Wee Man.
And Vern Troyer. Who is it? Oh, no, wait. Yeah. Mini-Me.
Is he classed as having dwarfism?
Well, I think Dan's being more broad about it. He's not going to go into that.
Yeah, because I think
he basically posted a picture with the question and it had those four.
Those exact four guys.
Those exact four. You got three out of four, basically.
Okay, well, yeah, I don't know if what Vern, what's his last name?
I think it's Troyer.
Vern Troyer. I don't
is
know
it?
If...
Mini-Me, he's Vern.
Is
Vern.
Yeah,
is,
the little
is,
dude is Vern
Troyer. But we were just discussing, is he classed technically as having dwarfism?
I don't think Dan Cox gives a fuck. He just wants to know who's your favourite small celebrity. And you got three out. Who's your favourite out of them four?
Well, there's only four to choose from, isn't
there? It feels like it. Yeah. I feel bad for all the other dwarves, but yeah, these ones have really made it. So who's your favourite?
Out of the four we've mentioned, I've got to say Peter Dinklage because he's Tyrion Lannister. Yeah. And therefore he automatically wins.
I'm with you on that one.
Well, Warwick Davis.
However,
man.
Warwick Davis is a comedian. He's a really funny dude.
Was he not also... He was the Ewok as well in Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, he's been a lot of little things in Star Wars. Funny that. But he's been in... Yeah, I mean...
They couldn't cast him as Luke Skywalker, could they?
Or Darth Vader.
No, that'd be fucking hilarious.
He was in...
They'd have to pay three people.
What's that fantasy movie he was in as well?
Willow,
that was the
Willow,
one.
Harry Potter, he's in that as well.
Yeah, because there's another dude in Willow who was... You know the little guy in... I have to be careful what I said there. he was the guy in... You know in Bad Santa? Another famous small person, but... He doesn't get the recognition. He's really funny.
He's actually brilliant in Bad Santa.
He's amazing.
Do you know why?
The chemistry he has with Billy Bob is actually really good as well.
Racist. That's why.
Yeah. I was going to say, yeah, good old... He was... Yeah. Who was he? He was... Oh, no, he wasn't Funka. He was the other warrior guy in Willow.
There you go.
Yeah, when he was young.
Right, the next question is deep.
How deep?
Dun, dun, dun. As deep as you like.
As deep as the ocean floor.
Yeah, deeper. Emily Walton.
Hello, Emily.
How do? Congratulations.
Well done on finishing your degree, Emily.
Woo!
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. And she's hit us up with the deepest of the deep. Simply three words.
Back to the EU.
Simply three. No, we're not. This is deeper than that.
Oh, we're out of shot.
Three words. What is love?
Are we going to do it? Are we really going to do this?
Love's a cuboid.
Yeah, we'll show you, Emily. We're going to have an orgy right now. This is
I think what she was hoping is that we'd start singing the Hadaway song.
Oh, okay. Well, we're not going to do that.
What song?
Hadaway.
Who's that?
What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Now we have done it. Thanks to Liam not knowing it. We've now
Sorry. I think Scott actually posted those words. Yeah, a little bit.
I just let you play into Emily's hands on that. Yeah. I do apologise.
So what is love?
Love can never die.
Cheers for that, Liam.
What have you got, Chris?
What have I got?
What have you got? Mate, Finis.
What is love? It's one of them things, isn't it?
Love's a word.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
Love is a feeling.
Love is a word and you attach your meaning to it.
That's a good answer.
Because for some people, love could be hate.
Mm. Well, what I'll say is, everyone's different. Everyone has a different opinion on what words mean because of their own experience and stuff. So yeah, I could say I love something, and someone who has a completely different, you know, opinion on what constitutes love is going to think that's bullshit.
Well, but we're getting into semantics now.
Oh yeah.
I love arguing about semantics.
I know.
There we go.
Well, go on. What's your take on what?
Well, I don't know.
Have you ever? Well, I was going to say, have you ever been in love? But there you go. There's another branch of love, because you love something, but you don't necessarily in love with something. Because people say that when they go, I love you, but I'm not in love with you. It's like, well, what does that mean? Like, there's tons of other things.
Well, the basic, I would say the basic meaning to being in love and loving someone is you have that love for someone no matter what. It's unconditional. Yeah. But then to be in love is to...
I love you too, but I'm not in love with either.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. I love you, but I don't want to jump your bones, like, you know, and be in love with you because you're too hairy for me. But you're a good-looking lad, so I won't rule it out.
Cheers, babe.
What's that? Right, that love. Meatloaf tune.
Which one?
I want you. I need you, but there ain't no way I'm ever gonna love you.
Now, Andrew's now sung twice on the podcast. This is unprecedented.
He's a two out singer. Of
three ain't bad.
Oh, he's still going.
He's still going, I know.
Well done. Should we applaud him? That was nice.
But, two out of three ain't bad.
Yeah. You must know that one.
I know the song. I'm just trying to think.
It's track two on Bat Out of Hell, the greatest album ever recorded.
Fucking hell, the conviction in that.
Hell. That's not much of a biased review, is it?
Jesus. Reviews are by definition subjective. You can't.
Of course they are.
Because when people like see reviews online of bands that they like, which are not positive, they're like, you always get the same bullshit out of them. They're always kind of like, they didn't even try and be objective. If you want an objective view of it, you're not. You shouldn't be reading reviews, because reviews, by definition, are subjective. You insufferable... Sorry.
Sorry. There you go.
I don't know where that came from.
Yeah, I want to bring us back to the question by saying, what's love got to do with that? I was trying to make you sing again. No. Anyway, yeah. Do you have an answer for this? We want to move on pretty soon. You've got 2 minutes to give your summary of what you think love is.
What's with these bullshit time limits you're saying?
Because I've got a lot of other questions we've got to get through them. And the next one's brilliant.
He's being a co-host and producer at the same time.
Yeah, the next one's from Scott, and I know he really wants me to talk about this next thing, so I want to get it in there.
Well, let's do Scott's then. Sorry, Emily, you've got nothing.
Andrew's got nothing.
We've failed you.
No, me and Liam gave our answers, or we at least tried. You just sung Meatloaf.
The thing is, good enough. Love is, yeah, it's, fair enough. It's all around.
Yeah, it's true, yeah.
The paradox. That's all this is.
Right, that's the third time. Yeah. Right, moving on. You'll like this one. This might raise a few eyebrows. Scott Willis. Hello, Scott.
Hello, Scott.
He sent me a... I gather he was up very late one night, and because he sent it to me at like 4 a.m. on Facebook, and it was like he sent me this debate, this article basically, and they'd done a survey in, I think it was New Jersey, and it was about I'm gonna cut to the chase. It's about wiping your ass, right? Which is your mindset. Right, seriously, right? And he
seriously,
yeah,
really,
yeah. Don't worry,
mate. Why are you asking seriously?
I told you we only deal with serious topics on this fucking podcast.
Of course.
Right. So course. Basically, the thing is, I'm just getting upset.
It's all right.
Basically, it was Scott never knew that some people, when they wipe their ass, stand up to wipe their ass, right? This is apparently, and what I found weird when I read through this article was they'd done a survey, and apparently in New Jersey, everyone they asked stood up to wipe their ass. So it became like this native thing to New Jersey, where in New Jersey, that's how it's done. Like, I don't know why, but...
Aren't a lot of them into arse bleaching, so maybe that's a symptom.
I don't know. I wouldn't like to comment, but...
Maybe it's
advice. It's more of a debate, really, like, you know, about arse wiping. Because Scott was, he was like, I never knew that was a thing. Like, he never knew that anyone stood... He was just, he wanted, you know, our take on it.
If we stand up and wipe our arses.
Well, he was like, well, maybe he wants to know if we do, or he wants to know your opinion on the people that do that, and why you would do that, and the benefits, and all of this, like...
What is our opinion of people who stand up to wipe their bottom? Is the question, basically.
People were giving really graphic like descriptions of how they wipe their arse on this thing as well, which was brilliant. Some guy was like, oh, you stand up. I stand up. I pull my butt cheek to the one side with my left hand and wipe with the right hand. It gives it much cleaner, whatever. Another guy was like, oh, no, I've only ever known right-handed, sitting down, that's it. Like, so there's obviously different methods.
But then if it's really, like, I don't know, say you've got a case of the trots and you get the really unpleasant splashback.
You've got to allow for complications.
Yeah.
You?
Jason's so one
that's
who's,
if you're standing
who gets
up
the splashback, Jesus.
And you've got shit.
It's all that crappy.
Dripping,
yeah, it is.
It's going to get on your trousers and everything. How about we go away and do some homework and then next week answer.
Compare notes.
Yeah.
Well, basically, I just want to say, Scott,
thank
you for this raising this point.
This has provoked quite a lively debate.
It has, yeah. It's a good topic.
You should go away and do a practical test and then give him the results.
Yeah, yeah.
Once you know.
Yeah.
Or maybe, you know, get the Chris and Drew research team to
go and do some
those
field
folks
research
over in New Jersey.
Maybe, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll do a survey at the railway tomorrow night. I'm going there tomorrow night. I'll do a survey and ask everyone how they wipe their ass.
I wonder why Joey Theroux never looked into this.
Yeah, I know, right?
Wow. What an idiot, right?
Isn't it?
Oh, what's this in my notebook? The next question's from Liam McFarlane.
Oh, is it me?
Yeah, it's the one you get. It's the one you gave
maybe Liam should read it out.
Well, do you want me to read it? The word because you gave me all the words, and I'll just say them.
They were a bit long and complicated, weren't they? So,
for Andrew, oh, let's see.
Well, for us, minions, but Andrew.
Whoa! Am I being?
I'll read it, and then you explain it. If he's,
am I on parade here then?
Right. Well, you're not on parade, mate. No.
Right, Liam McFarlane. Hello, Liam.
How do myself?
He's actually here.
And everyone else. Hey. Yeah. Hello.
Right, he said. Why does the human race find it necessary to pollute the greatness of something's essence, i.e. art, music, film, song, etc., with diluted meaning? Do you want to explain your question?
Yeah, what I'm trying to basically say is, why is it anything that's sort of great or any sort of creation or something, once it's sort of amongst the masses, we kind of take, you know, the beauty of what that thing meant, and then it just becomes sort of, well, McDonald's in a way. You know, it's like what, kind of what you were saying about like something like, I know you're not a big fan, but a band like Slipknot, for instance. Mm. Now, they're huge, they're worldwide, this, that and the other, they appeal to a lot of people. Do you reckon maybe somehow the artist does it to themselves and then people get hold of it and then turn it into shit? Like, for instance, my main argument was Game of Thrones. I'm sick of fucking people just...
No spoilers. Yeah. No spoilers.
Yeah, just getting involved and...
I can't really say it without... Well, I don't want to give a spoiler, but the thing that's been going around recently on the internet...
I'm just sick of people just being fucking morons. Like, just stop.
You're saying take something for what it is. It's the art. You don't need to, like,
the thing is as well, I mean,
Is there a question in this, though? Or is it sort of...
Well, yeah, the question is like, why do...
Why does this happen?
Why do people feel the need to sort of... sort of take something away from it and dilute it into like a really sort of shit version, you know, or...
Economics.
Or try and make it their own.
He said economics. Do you want to elaborate?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think when you talk about art and music and culture and all the rest of it and why it needs to be essentially commodified, I think is kind of what you're getting at.
It's just frustrating.
The answer is that, you know, when you live in a... you know, a system which has sort of capitalist economic structures, the value of a thing is always going to be determined by how profitable it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, art for art's sake is not something anyone has ever successfully turned a profit from, really. That's the answer, really.
At all.
I also wonder if it's something to do with the nature of...
if we must create, so therefore we must destroy it, you know? And it's maybe a jealousy thing of what we didn't create, but we wish we had, we have to destroy it.
Well, going back to the Tool point, is Tool purely art for art's sake? Which is not to say that it's not a very... They do not produce great works of art, because they plainly do. But is it purely art for art's sake that they do?
Well, the point I was trying to make about that is that they're, like, you say no one's made a success out of it, but they've avoided the media game at the beginning to quite a large extent and still managed to get one of the largest fan bases.
True, but I think the fact that they've kind of shrouded themselves in mystery to a certain degree...
Well, yeah, but that's, again, this is part of the art behind
has
it.
Has actually kind of made them, ironically... Quite,
yeah, of quite, course. Quite, but that's it, terrible. Isn't it? You know, when we said about modern art the other day, like, and that whole thing of, like, part of it could be, you know, or has been spoken about before, as it's not just doing something, it's the fact that it's getting away with something, and, like, if, the fact that you've made people talk about it, even, like, if something's bullshit, for example, like, you go, when we went, you were there, the modern art museum, some of that stuff, you'd look at and go, what the fuck is that? That looks like a toddler's just rolled around in paint. And so people are then talking, going, well, this isn't art, this is bullshit. But the fact that that has got you talking about it is the art itself. And that's kind of what I mean. It's like you can't avoid the media game in that sense. You can to a degree, but it's always going to, like you said about Game of Thrones, once it's in the public domain, everyone's going to have their say and have their...
Well, that was, you know, I mean, that was a bit of a tangent, really. I don't know how relevant that little rant of mine was to the actual question.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's Liam's question, so...
But, you know, I mean, obviously... the TV version has been, the story has been massively simplified. I mean, I don't know if you read the books or...
I've cheated and read bits and bobs because I've wanted to catch up.
I mean, there are entire characters and entire subplots which are not part of the screen version.
But then at the same time, if you look at the medium of TV and film, you know, characters in a book don't need to be on the payroll, whereas, you know, a TV show, you can't keep employing everyone because then you won't have a show in the first place.
It's
so
true.
You do need to sometimes streamline and...
But on the other hand, you know, if you did include everything, you'd end up... If you did try and include everything, you could make more series of it.
You could, but then is it a thing of, you know, do you keep moving on and creating something for economics, or do you have some sort of artistic integrity where everything has a natural ending?
Well, this is the point, isn't it? You know, network executives... If it's not going to make them any money,
they're
not going to be interested, basically.
Okay.
Their duty is to maximise profits.
We have one more question, and then a joke. So, this one's from my brother, Dan.
Hey, hello. Dan.
Dan. Dan. Man.
Yeah, this is quite... I quite like this one, actually. He said, what is a popular fad or trend or craze that you regret getting swept up in? Quite good, isn't it? It's got you rubbing your beard.
I don't want to sound all pompous and farty and... Well, maybe I do, actually.
Go on.
I'm struggling to think of one.
Ooh! Yeah.
No, seriously.
You never got caught up in a craze?
What crazes have there been in our lifetime?
Yo-yos. Hogs.
Nah.
Roller skating. Roller blading.
Nah. Oh, well, I mean, I did, back in, like, the early 90s, I had those big Panini sticker albums, like Premier League 94.
Oh, I remember
all that.
Those, yeah.
Mate, do you regret getting involved in that?
I don't regret a thing. And, all right. You know, and there was the WWF sticker albums as well.
Oh, yeah.
And you got, you know, one day I got a holographic. Yeah, you get... Yeah. You open the packet one day and you've got the holographic Randy Savage. You're like, oh.
Fuck me.
I'm the coolest person in the whole world.
Randy Savage as well. I love it.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And you never actually put it in the book. You just kind of like have it on your person. So whenever you got to bartering with a person, you just knew that you could flash it quickly. Oh, that's staying.
It was like the equivalent of a 7-year-old £50 note.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. It's like, oh, no, that's too much.
I'm not willing to make that joke.
This one's got far too much glitter on.
Yeah, it's just, you know, so that, you know, the person you're dealing with knows that they're not dealing with a chump, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
You're the boss of the playground
with
your macho man Randy Savage card.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't think of any fads or anything I regretted. I mean, I'd probably say if I looked back at my younger self, I'd laugh at when I had the step haircut. That's probably the one thing that I'd be like, sort yourself out, Liam. But
I think the thing with, like, things like fashion and whatnot is I've managed to remain oblivious to it for pretty much most of my life because I don't understand it.
No, I don't. Basically. To me, fashion is...
I genuinely...
Well, no, clothing's more of a thing of necessity and provides a practical function as opposed to, you know, the sort of vanity of how you look. And,
I mean,
you know.
I suppose I kind of wear... I wear check shirts a lot. They're kind of in style at the minute, aren't they?
I suppose. There was a phase of them. You used to see metal gigs. It was like everyone
wearing a check shirt.
That was when everyone got into Clutch, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, now you're wearing a check shirt. I'm wearing one right now. It's not cool anymore.
Well,
so you don't care about looking cool, do you?
I've never been overly.
You got a new pair of jeans. I said when you came in, you got some baggy jeans.
Yeah, baggy jeans. Well, I think it's basically it's this newfangled nu metal that all the kids are talking about these days, which is probably going to be the next big thing, I reckon. Yeah. So
I'm 15 years late.
Yeah. So I'm gonna find the rest.
Yeah. All right.
I think at this point, 20 years late.
Let's not go into that. I'm just saying, nice pair of jeans, mate.
Thanks, Ben.
So, fad or... was it a fad or...
Fad, craze. Craze. You know, trend. Well, I was into Pokemon. Does that count? I got well into that.
Do you regret that?
I don't regret it now, because I look at it and go, well...
Or do you regret the money you spent on it?
Actually, I'll tell you something I do regret. Now you've brought money into it. That fucking Simpsons game on the was it Tapped Out?
Tap Out.
Yeah.
When I had a job and I could actually afford to spend money on things, I actually spent a good £20 over the whole time of me playing it on the game.
Ooh, yeah.
See, these are in-app
fucking regret that.
In-app purchases.
Yeah.
I didn't think anyone actually did in-app purchases. I thought there was more sense.
This is what I'm saying, all right? Don't have a go. I'm just saying, I regret it.
You know. What sort of things you buy with it, though?
Oh, you can buy it. It's all shit. This is the point. This is why I regret it. I look back and go, and I don't play it anymore. I deleted it. It's like, what's the point? I spent money on that. Yeah. So, yeah, there's one. I'll admit, I hold my hands up. I regret it. All right.
For instance, I'm playing Star Wars Heroes on my phone, and you've got to buy stuff on that, and I refuse to. I just thought I'll keep.
Yeah, playing. No, don't get me wrong.
And when I get beaten by someone who's got really high character stats, I'm sitting there thinking, well, I know you spent money on that, and I haven't, so I'm going with the integrity of, you know, being a cheapskate.
Yeah. And all in the Simpsons game, you don't even compete with people. All you do is look at their Springfield that they created and go, oh, he's got that, I want that. He's going to come to mine and be like looking down his nose at me.
So it's just pathetic. Like Sims, but with the Simpsons.
Pretty much. So yeah, I regret that. What about you, Liam? You said the step haircut.
The step haircut, that's about it, really.
Yeah. Fair enough.
And I've probably had many other embarrassing phases that, you know, I'm sure if anyone wants to remind me of at some point, you know, please feel free to do so.
All right, well, I think it's time for Andrew's Joke of the Week.
Good blimey, is it time already?
Hold on to your butts.
Yeah, I mean, you got a good one this week?
Well, I'd like to think it's reasonable.
Okay.
But it's not for me to decide, really, is it?
No, we'll judge it by our laughter, or Liam's laughter. You're the laughometer. Liam is the laughometer. So, right, let us...
Okay, you ready?
Begin, yeah.
Good to go.
I'm all ears.
Now hold on to your butts.
Firmly tilt.
Let's do this.
There was a woman, and she was wise.
Okay.
Woefully wise was she. But this story is not about her.
Okay.
That's a story for another day.
Okay. You still have a sort of blind path there.
This story is about a different woman.
Okay.
Who was not as wise.
All right.
And she had a husband. They lived together in a house.
Mm-hmm.
And her husband had developed a very strange and bizarre habit.
Okay.
I call it a habit because it started off as what appeared to be a hobby, but it quickly spiraled out of control into an obsession.
Did he read it in Maxim?
What?
Carry on.
Okay.
Liam got it. Go on, carry on.
I'm baffled.
Yeah.
So, she came home one night and saw him at the kitchen table, and he had an ant farm.
Okay. All right. Definitely didn't read it in Maxim then.
No. And what he was doing, she couldn't say. He was all very sort of secretive about it, and it immediately stopped as soon as she stepped into the room. Like, this is strange. And he spent hours and hours, and eventually, you know, got to the point where he was doing it long into the night.
Sorry.
Whatever it was.
Hmm.
And she thought, I've got to get to the bottom of this. This is putting immense strain on our marriage.
Hmm.
Basically.
Yeah. At least ant farms are wiped clean. Sorry, go on.
Sorry, for a joke, this is all really sinister, the way you're telling it.
Yeah.
It was like a horror story.
Yeah. So one day, she decided she was going to get to the bottom of this.
Mm-hmm.
So came in one evening, and she saw her husband was hard at work at the kitchen table with the ant farm. Couldn't make out what he was doing. So she decided, she took out a makeup mirror from her bag, left it on the side. She then set up another mirror in the hallway, and that gave her, sitting in the lounge, a clear line of sight into what was going on. And she sat there and watched for hours.
Okay. And hours.
And hours. And whenever he stood and looked like his attention might be diverted from his work, she made out like she was asleep.
Clever.
Yeah. And what she saw, he appeared to be taking out each ant from the ant farm individually, and with a very tiny paintbrush was writing something on them, which, you know, bloody hell, what's that all about?
Yeah.
And this disquieted her greatly, because she thought, this is very strange and very obsessive behaviour for someone to develop for over a bunch of ants for no particular reason. So one day, she decided to come home from work a bit early. She made out like she had a headache or something, so she went home early. And, you know, went to the kitchen table. No, nothing there. The ants had been safely put away. But then she noticed that the door to the basement
was slightly ajar,
exactly. You've heard this one before.
I haven't. I just knew that was coming. Sorry.
How did you guess?
Well, what else was it? The door was what? Go on.
On fire?
Well, that would be a twist.
Grown legs? Do you want to tell the joke?
Fucking hell. Carry on.
The door with legs was a table, wasn't it?
I like that joke.
Yeah.
Alright, come on.
We might as well end the episode there.
Good night. No, go
Bye.
on.
Professionalism.
So very tentatively, she takes the steps down into the long dark of the cellar.
Mm.
And she eventually reaches the far wall, because the stairs go down in a diagonal way, reaches the far wall, black as pitch, she can't see a thing.
As you fall down. Sorry, black as pitch. Never heard someone say that.
Pitch black.
Yeah, no, I get it. It's just I never heard someone say it in that way. Carry on.
Starts feeling the far wall, trying to find the light switch. After a good minute or so, she eventually finds it. Lights come on, light the entire place up like a goddamn Christmas tree. She turns around slowly, not knowing what she's going to find.
Mm.
Very slowly.
Slowly.
She opens her eyes.
Opens her eyes.
And she sees another table.
Another table.
A door with legs.
Yes, she sees a door with legs.
Carry on.
But it's not a table she's ever seen before.
Mm.
It's got lots of holes in it. And lots of bits where it's sort of been withered away. But as well as that, all the walls of the cellar were absolutely covered in photographs of ants, head to toe. You know, like in movies where, you know, they find the serial killer's room and it's covered in pictures and maps and diagrams.
Like
and
Alan little... Partridge's number one.
Yeah. All that kind of stuff. So you think, oh my God, what's going on here? And so she goes up to the first photo that she can see, and it seems to be a picture of an ant with a letter A written on it. And the next one is A, and A, and A. And some of these, it looks like they've just been freshly painted on. Others, the paint has sort of withered away slightly. But, you know, obviously these ants are so small, you can only see it with a microscope, so he's got this very detailed microscopic camera to see what's going on. And on top of each of these says, History of the A's. What the hell's he up to? He's cataloguing ants.
Yeah.
Then along from there, the History of the B's. B, 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 in various qualities and style of the letter B on these ants.
Mm-hmm.
And so it goes on and on and on and on and on. It gets to somewhere in the middle, and she can't see what these pictures haven't come through so well. They're blurred. And the title on top of them, the ink seems to have, you know, accidentally got smudged off.
Okay.
But she sees she can just make out on two of them, side by side, one of the ants has L written on it. The other has M.
Okay.
And then she hears behind her, what are you doing? The husband's back. He came back from work very quietly and descended into the cellar very slowly, silent as a silent thing. And she tries to make out that it's all perfectly innocent, says, what are you are spying on me, you want to see what I'm doing? And she decides, you know, suddenly finds a bit of courage and says, well, yes, actually, I would very much like to know what you're doing. This strange fixation you have on the ants is really putting very great strain on our marriage, so I would quite like to get to the bottom of it, thank you very much. The husband's slightly taken aback by this and says, well, yeah, fair enough. And what do you think was going to happen? Do you think someone was going to get stabbed or whatever?
Right.
You look really disappointed.
Was that the end?
No.
Fuck's sake, get on with it.
Yeah. And,
I thought it was then.
Yeah, yeah. The shittest joke in the world.
So, well, she said, right, for a start, what's that? Pointing at the table.
Mm.
Said, ah, well, this is a table that we used to have in the shed, but, you know, you never used to come in the shed, so you wouldn't have seen it. And, basically, all these ants, one morning I came in and found all these ants were eating the table, basically. And I had some time on my hands, so I thought it might be quite interesting to catalogue the ants and see what they were doing, basically, just to see if there are any patterns to their behaviour. I'd seen a documentary about it on the Discovery Channel, you know, ant fongs, and I thought it might be quite a fun hobby. Mm. Oh, so nothing sinister or weird about this at all. No, I admit I've been spending a lot of time on it, you know, but, you know, it's one of those things, it's fearsomely addictive, you should probably try it. No, I'm alright. But she, you know, says, well, okay. One thing though, these two, these photos in the middle, like, what the hell is going on here? And he stops. Those two pictures. Yeah, those two. Ah. Well, if you look very closely, you can see this table in the pictures. And he's like, my God, you're right. Okay. So, and you know, this is the, you know, pictures of the L and M ants.
Yeah.
There's right. Well, you know, well, what was special about these? Well, the thing is, all the L's and all the M's, they only seem to feast on the table at certain times of the day, and I can't figure out why. That's very strange. I wonder why that is. Oh, I've not been able to come to any meaningful conclusion yet. Well, this title's smudged off in both of these. What does it say? It says, the periodic table of the elements.
Liam? What do you think? You'll be tuning in next week, won't you? To listen to more of that shit. He's got nothing, he don't want it.
He's stunned into silence by how good it was.
Clearly, yeah, that's what's happened.
I'm stunned by how long the journey was to get to
punchline.
Yeah.
I'm glad you liked it.
Table of the elements.
Oh, I'm sweating and everything. My palms are going, and like, you know.
Created this nice bit of tension there.
Spin the yarn, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Game of Thrones better not end like that.
It's the way you tell them. Ooh, feeling rigid.
Although horror stories, I think you...
You tell a good audio descriptive of a horror story.
That was quite creepy in some bits, you know? Yeah.
That one you told about the duck that time, that was creepy.
Jason's narration.
Yeah, that was great. I was trying to replicate that at points, but yeah. Well, that's episode 8, done and dusted. Thank you, Liam.
That's all right. I need a cup of tea and a lie down. Yeah. Sorry, mate. No,
yeah, and thanks for that, Andrew.
No.
All right, well, keep the questions coming. Thank you for everyone that gave us a question this week. I guess we'll wrap it up.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome, mate. You're welcome.
Do I have to go through the gift shop to get out?
Yeah.
Maybe we should consider a line in merchandise.
Yeah, the words gift shop. You can buy a t-shirt with Andrew's face on it.
You can buy the entire season 1 on 3 cassettes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be good.
Maybe you should bring out a cape with that joke written. On the cape, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be good.
I know a bit of t-shirt will suffice.
It wouldn't be long enough. Yeah. Right, anyway, thank you. And
It was the Magna Carta of jokes.
The Magna Carta, it's only one page, the Magna Carta, that's not long.
It's very little, isn't it?
Nah. Right, say goodbye, Andrew.
Goodbye, Andrew.
Say goodbye, Liam.
Ciao, Liam.
And it's bye from me as well. Hit the music.